The Live with Squacky podcast is sponsored in part by Mid-Atlantic VoiceOver and Antland Productions. For those of you that have been listening to Live with Squacky for a while now, either season one or in YouTube format before this, you know that animation and character work is my favorite type of voiceover work to do. So when I get the chance to interview actors that are super pros in these genres of voice acting, it's even more exciting for me. Hi, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Live with Squacky. I'm your host, Val Kelly, otherwise known as Squacky Voice. My special guest today is a top-tier talent in the voice acting world. I met Ellie Rae Hennessy for the first time in 2012 or so at a voiceover conference I attended in Toronto. I was so impressed with her level of creativity and her ability to get an entire room of people to follow her guidance in creating characters. I had the chance to attend a session with her again at VO Atlanta after that, and was again impressed with her ability to give such awesome direction to get actors to reach their highest level of performance. She is truly one of the best voice actors out there. Ellie has been traversing the stages, film sets, television, and radio stations for over 40 years, delighting audiences worldwide. Her talent and compassion to share it are unparalleled. Ellie has performed in over 300 theatrical productions with hundreds of on-camera series and movies to her credit and voiced literally thousands of commercial campaigns, animated series, animated movies, and games. I could go on for a while about how talented she is, but let me jump into the question segment. Hi, Ellie. It's so great to have you on the show. I'm so excited to have the chance to talk with you today.
Oh, it's so exciting to be here, Valerie. Thank you so much for inviting me to come and chat with everybody. And happy, happy new year 2021, which is a 5-year. That is a freedom year. That's a risk-taking year, an adventure year, a year to learn. So what a great opportunity for us to be chatting.
You've been in the industry for a long time now, and you've worked on countless animated series and films. How did you originally get started in voice acting?
Well, you know, that's a fabulous question, Belle, because, you know, I think I was born voicing. They said I was literally, I had my mouth open, I was yabbering, I was making sounds when I came out. That's the truth. I went to theater school, and I was told that I would never do voiceover because I have a deviated septum. I've had 5 rhinoplasties to correct it, which it hasn't, Gore-Tex from my ear and my nose. I've got cartilage from behind my ear. I've got a cathedral ceiling to the roof of my mouth. So I've got an overbite, which makes me plosive and wet. I've got a raspy bottom end. Like, I've got so many things wrong with the instrument. And so they just said, you're not going to do voice because you don't have a pleasant voice. And I was like, oh, okay. And then they also said I'd never do film and television because I'm too tall, I'm too angular, I'm too masculine, I'm too all the things you're not supposed to be. Long story short was I graduated from university theater program, and I got a series right away and a movie right away. But what it taught me was you define you. No one else defines you. It's your decision. Just know your worth. If you've got a dream in you, then pursue it, because your start, your beginning has always been there. If you're a storyteller, then you are a storyteller, no matter what anyone says, including you, about what you can and cannot do and when your start is. But I would say that my start was birth. It was a knowledgeable attempt to be heard. And it just continued. And, you know, if you've got a love for something, you will be giving it to the world and be the alchemist that changes the vibration of the world through storytelling, if that's what your dream is.
I can sense that about you, that you would have been doing it for your whole life just because.
I was always, you know, I was a magician when I was a kid. I'd do magic acts for the school kids. And then I pretended I was a beetle. Like, I literally pretend, and I would sing air guitar on the top of our fence in our backyard and pretend I was a beetle. Like, I was always sort of entertaining. Like, that was just my deal, yo.
Right? Yeah. I think a lot of people are just born with it. You know, it's just like who you are when you're born, and you just kind of develop into.
You know, we come to it when we come to it. I have students worldwide. They'll start training when they're 40, 50s, 60s, 70s. I have an 80-year-old. I just did a demo for him out of Vancouver. You come to your realized arrival point when you are ready. But you're ready from the moment, you know, we'll do other things. We'll become an accountant. We'll do whatever. And then they go, you know what? I've had this burning desire to do this sort of thing. And I'm like, Fabulous. Welcome.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here. That's the way we are. The start point is like, if you consider that we've been here three countless eons, we keep coming back here, then we've actually been storytellers for a long time. We used to sit around fire singing, dancing, sharing fable. Well, now gone are those days. And we are at home on our devices creating the magic from there now. It's just a different forum, you know?
It really is. Yeah. I was listening to your demos, and you do such a great job of adding personality and character to all genres of voiceover that you perform. What are some tips you can offer for actors who are trying to add versatility to a performance?
Well, I feel that, you know, what actors have to understand is they are magicians. They are alchemists. What they don't believe is that they are truly mercurial. They're warriors and warrioresses of the word. And as storytellers, they have to believe in magic. And that magic is them. So they're the sheroes and the heroes of every story. And I think what they need to know is I always talk about three ingredients. So if you want variety, the most important ingredient is I always tell people to laugh first. It doesn't matter where. People have a hard time laughing and they have a hard time connecting with their joy. The world needs joy more than anything at all times. And I feel a lot of us are embarrassed to laugh until we pee our pants or until tears stream down our face. We save it for our partners or our animals, like to be kind of wildly liberated in laughter. Children laugh 300 to 400 times a day, and we laugh 12 to 17 at the expense of someone else. And I feel like when we come to our works, if you want variety, you have to find joy. Joy is key. Joy is what is required. It's what your audience requires. And you're not drunk or stoned or insane or unprofessional if you laugh, if you engage in laughter. And the other thing that we don't engage in is how to love others. We don't know the expression of it. We don't know what it sounds like because we don't even love ourselves, and nobody's taught us how to love. And love has to take your breath away. It has to be so huge and so powerful that the storyteller, the voicer, has to literally move from inside you on such a powerful place that you want to burst into tears or burst into laughter. And that will cost the actor something. But you must go there because you are the soldier or warrior of the word. You are here to change the vibration of the planet. So the variety in character comes with joy, being able to express it, love, being able to share it and express it to ignite your audience. And then you've got to risk everything to love and joy an audience that isn't there, well, you forget is there because you're alone in your studio with your headphones on and you think you're talking to yourself, but you're talking to millions of people who are disenfranchised. Now, if you can engage in loving, joying, and risking everything to love and joy, then you're playing. That's what play is. So you've got to remember your audience, that they're there listening to you and responding to you. It's response-driven dialogue with opinion. That's what we do, and discovery. But we just tend to read words nicely. But that's not how you find variety. Whereas if I am uniquely connected to an audience with my joy in place and my love in place, it's like I always say, how do you talk to your animals and how do you talk to your partners? Or, you know, a baby. A baby that's a little cute niece or nephew, your own children. Yeah, you're like, we need a more now, Shirley. Oh my God. And I always say, you've got to talk to your audience like that. And they're like, what? And I go, I don't mean the baby talking, but I mean that liberty where you are engaged in loving someone who loves you unconditionally, because your audience does. And your variety will come out when you know your worth and you know you're loved and you remember your audience is there and you love them and you joy with them and you risk everything to authentically go to the place that you basically save only for your animals or the little nieces and nephews in your lives. You've got to give that to the world. It will cost you something, but you know what? It's so brilliant. It's worth it.
That's such great advice. I love that, because there are definitely times when I'm doing auditions or whatever that I have trouble finding a way to put laughter into it. And I'm still working on it to this day, but...
Yeah, well, it's the same. Everybody's the same, Val. It doesn't matter. I do workshops in Los Angeles, the most creative, you know, that's where all the storytellers are. And I'll go around the room and I'll go, laugh for me, you know, 200 people. I'll make somebody stand up. They're already nervous because I've left the podium. But, you know, I'll ask them to laugh and they'll go, now? And I go, yeah. Some people say I can't. Some people put their hand over their mouth. Some people go, ha, ha, ha. Some people go, ha, ha, and do some kind of weird thing.
Right.
And you realize that we don't even understand what pure joy is. We have pushed it down because we think it's too unhinged. Well, guess what? We need to color outside the lines. The lines, the words are not our friend. We are the magicians. And then it comes with that wild sense of just, you play when you're excited and joyful. And that's the forum we live in. And yes, it can be narration and documentary and promo and all the rest of it. Because when you bring that joy to the work that you do, you connect with your audience. And that's your goal.
Yeah, connecting to the audience is definitely key. What's your process for breaking down a new character script?
Okay, well, my process is kind of, I get rid of the punctuation. I find it's a trap for actors. You'll have other coaches that will say, you know, you read to the period, you underline this word, you stress that, you do that. For those of you who read music out there, you know that there's octaves, there's a bass clef and a treble clef, there's weights to notes, there's half notes, whole notes, 32nd notes, and then there's a scale from C to C with C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. They're all different weights. You've got crescendo, decrescendo, pianissimo, staccato. So when you sing a song, you know exactly how to do it. When you look at a script, it shows you nothing. All you've got is words. Whereas with the song, you've got the words, but you've also got all the notes and you've got all the direction of how to do it. So our job is to, when creating characters, you've got to have a who, what, why, where, when. So who are you talking to? Where are you? What's the moment that just happened? Why are you saying what you're saying? What are you saying? Do you even know what you're saying? Because half the time my students don't even know what they're saying. You know, they do a read. I go, here's an audition, do it. Then I say, okay, so what are you selling? And they'll be like, hamburgers? No, wait. I think, is it hamburgers or maybe it's the salt? I can't remember. And I go, yeah, because we're in a big hurry to do it. And we have to know exactly what we're talking about and why we're talking about it. And for the most part, we just want to get to the words, but not about what we know and who are the people that we're talking to and why are we telling them what we're talking to. So I always have a pre-moment of what happened right before. And if you're involved in response-driven dialogue, someone is always asked you a question. So I'll give something like the line, Advil is 99% more effective than Tylenol, for example. So I'll give that to a group of people and it's written down. I'll go, say this for me, and we'll go around the room and everybody goes, Advil is 99% more effective than Tylenol. Advil is 99% more effective than Tylenol. They'll do versions of it. I'll go, no. If I look at you and I go, oh my God, Valerie, I've got the worst headache. What pain medication do you use? And you go, Advil. And I go, why? And you go, it's 99% more effective than Tylenol. Well, nobody's going to go, Advil, 99% more effective than Tylenol. They won't do that. They'll go, Advil is 99% more effective than Tylenol. They'll state everything. And what you've got to do is find the question that was just asked of you. Well, how much is this? Only $9.99. Only $9.99. So we'll state it rather than respond it because we can't hear what the audience is asking us. So when you're the magician, you have to realize that the audience is constantly speaking with you, but you think you're alone. So, you know, when setting up those characters and your script, find the questions before everything that you say. So there's going to be a response rather than a statement because everything becomes a statement in copy and it's not statements. It's responses with opinion. And we don't even know what our opinion is because we don't know what we're talking about. We don't know how we feel about anything. I don't know anything about banking. I need a more, BMO Bank of Canada, they'll help you with all of your banking needs. At BMO Bank of Canada, they'll help you with all your banking needs. Like that's how the voice actor goes. Right. And they'll continually say, we don't want the announcer. And that's all you hear out there because no one knows how to help the storyteller not state and announce things, you know what I'm saying? So just remember there's a beginning, middle, end, and a climax to every single script you come to, whether it's 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, half hour, hour, 2 hour movie. You've got to find that shape, and then you've got to find your opinion and your response and discovery. Like if I ask you a question and I go, describe to me what's in your living room, Valerie, what would you say?
A sofa and a coffee table.
Yeah. You look at you. You're thinking about it. Why didn't you say the TV first?
I don't know.
You go, sofa, coffee table. I don't know. A TV. So that is you. You know what's in your living room, but you have to think about it. The same is true for every commercial script or narration script. You've got to think about what you're talking about. You've got to discover if someone asks you a question, you're going to know the information just like I know how to teach. But I still have to think about how I want to say what I want to say to the listener. The same is true of our scripts. And that's where it becomes difficult for us because we just want to state all the lines that are on the page. But that's not real. Nobody talks like that.
I really love that. That's so helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Keep listening. There's more Live with Squacky coming up right after this.
Have you ever wanted to become a real-life superhero? Deciding to eat a vegan diet saves rainforest destruction, reverses climate change, and helps solve world hunger. As an added bonus, people who eat a vegan diet tend to live longer and healthier lives. Live with Squacky listeners can visit www.veganonajetplane.com and use promo code VAL10 for 10% off Ali Teixeira's Vegan 101 course. Again, visit www.veganonajetplane.com and use code VAL10 for a limited time 10% discount to learn how to easily enjoy a vegan diet.
Now back to the show.
Auditioning can be tough. You've been doing this for a long time now, so maybe you don't
get it. Yeah. I don't think I was ever, I had any fear ever, because I'm not in it to impress anyone. I know that I am giving gifts, and everybody, gang, start with give more. Give all of you. You will hold back in a fear of thinking you're trying to please somebody to do the right thing. You know what the right thing is? Playing. The right thing is your ultimate, intimate, playful, loving, generous self, your hero with me, your innocence. And we're so afraid of that. Like I said, if your nervous fear and anger is just joy without the breath, it's the same emotional acceleration in the body. For those of you who drive out there, you push into the gas pedal of a car and it accelerates, it gets faster. But we at the microphone never accelerate anything. We stay in the same rhythm, tone, pitch, speed, volume, and emotion basically for the whole thing. But if you just think about your breath, so if you're feeling a little bit nervous, I want you to breathe in and out as hard as you can, gulping, 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 gulping. I make my students do this. And then they start crying usually, or they get hysterical and start laughing. Well, that's the key because I want you to laugh. It's the same thing, whether you're crying or laughing. It's, you know, anger, I hold on to anything and I don't breathe. Fear, I'm holding on, I'm not breathing. Whereas laughter, you know, you've got to do that. I want you to force yourself to get hysterical until you can't, before you have to do your audition. Just keep breathing. And I know I sound insane right now, but you have to breathe and laugh and pour out the laughter. I mean, pour it out because you're going to feel you're by yourself. Who cares? You're in your underpants, in your studio. Laugh and laugh. Stand on one leg, hop up and down, grab your basket, make your boobs puppets. I don't care what you do. Nobody can see you. Laugh and laugh and laugh and gulp and gulp and gulp. And then all of a sudden, your vibration changes. You've accelerated the vehicle. You have accelerated the vehicle. There's this fabulous script I have. It's called the Chime Script that I make all my students do. It's 60 seconds worth of copy that you have to fit into 30 seconds, and it's rhyming, and it's all personality. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever see. But I time you, and it's the and it's all tongue twisters. It's just insane. And doing it, I make people do it, and they usually have to do it about, you know, 6 to 8 times to get it to the time, because it's so difficult. But where the energy is, because it's forcing them to do the thing. At Chime, we're making banking better for everyone because financial peace of mind is for people of all kinds. And you've got to go at a rate that is quickly escalated. And then once they're done, they're like, I said, do you feel the energy of where you are right now? And they go, yeah. And I go, that's where you have to be before every audition. You're in a heightened, like, go, like, and, oh, so, you know, they kind of go to that place. And we, as actors, sit in fear and come to our reads from a place of holding, not from a place of dancing, not from a place of liberating, not from a place of breathing in and out and laughing until we pee our pants. And that's where you have to be, or else you're not playing. If you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. If you're worrying about stuff and scared, you're not doing it right.
That's such a good technique to use. I'm definitely going to try that because there are so many times when I just get stuck in my head. For as much improv as I've taken and everything,
exactly.
I still have these moments of like, you know, I feel very comfortable in my booth and I've been doing this for a long time and everything. But still, sometimes there's that one audition that'll be like, oh man, I'm really nervous. And
well, because you're judging yourself and you're judging expectations, which are not real. Like, if you're just playing the game, then you're not thinking about any of that stuff. You're going, la, 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 la. Like, the stuff that I do before my auditions to get me there, like, Disney LA is always going, what is happening right now? Because I don't, unapologetically, I just play. I don't try to please. If you don't like it, that's fine. That's okay. That's all right. I'm just trying to liberate my playful self without proving to myself that this is the right way to do it, I think. It's like, no, whatever comes out is what comes out, and that's okay. That's okay, because this is fun, and this is what I do for a living, and I love it. And I don't have to prove to myself that I can do this, so why get nervous about anything? Your coach says, get on the field, and you're like, yeah, go, get on the field now. You're like, ah! I'm like, run, Forrest, run! And you're like, and if you're doing that, and you catch the ball, you might fumble the ball, you might face plant, but you might score. And you don't do this because you want to score. You do this because you love playing the game. But sometimes we go, I have to score. And we beat ourselves up going, if I don't score, then it means I'm no good. You're already good. You're already in the game. You're a team player. If somebody else scores, yay, it means we're thriving. But we've got to learn that, take that pressure off yourself. If you score, you score. If you don't, who cares? You're still brilliant. You're spectacular. You're saving the world. Through storytelling, you're igniting humanity with inspiration. So I say take that pressure off yourself.
I think so many people have that issue. That's really,
everybody does.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's really tough to push through it, but
As soon as you get ridiculous and you don't, all of a sudden you liberate a part of yourself that goes, I'm taking my left brain out of the equation. I'm just, you know, all of that rule, regulation, how it has to be, that sort of stuff. There's no place for that in creative expression or creative anything. There's no rules in anything. You should be allowed to do whatever you want. It's your audition. Who cares what you do? You're not right. Stepping on anybody else's lines. You're by yourself. And if your princess like sounds like you smoke cigars and drink whiskey and everybody else is doing a little princess voice, you know, that's when, you know, our expectations are like, oh, I don't know if I can do this placement. I don't know if I can, I don't know if I can do that thing. You can do anything. Like I said, we're magicians. We can do anything. But what we have to do is think outside the lines and just bring whatever we have to the table. That's what, because, you know, if everybody's going to do a sound alike, I'm not going to do the sound alike. Yeah, they're asking for the sound alike, but I'm not going to do that because I know that everybody else is going to do that. And when they hear out of 100 people, somebody who doesn't sound like everybody else, they're attracted to that. That's a trick, you know?
Yeah.
But we think I have to obey the rules because they asked for me to sound like so-and-so.
Mm-hmm. You've been on amazing shows like My Little Pony, Hotel Transylvania, and many more. You've had the opportunity to work with other great voice actors, directors, and writers. What are some valuable lessons you've learned over the years from working on such great shows?
What you realize is there is an incredible team that makes up the stories, whether they're commercial narration, documentary, telephony, it doesn't matter. Medical reads, whether it's animation or gaming or anime or dubbing or mocap, it doesn't matter. And we always think it's about us. It isn't. We cannot tell a story without every single element. And there's so many, many, many elements. We're stronger together than we are apart. So what we have to realize is we are carried by so many writers and directors and musical directors and animators and the producers, like everybody to create this thing. We always go, it's about my character. And it's like, man, no, I think, you know, I've worked on so many big, huge projects and from tiny, tiny little projects to big, huge projects with tons of money. It doesn't change anything how big the project is. It's still a story. It is still required, whether it's a fan fiction or a dubbing or whatever, it doesn't matter. And I think working on the big ones is that there is such a team of phenomenal individuals that are creating the story. We're not alone. We feel alone. And every time you audition, and if you slate or don't slate, remember that there is an entire team that you're talking to, and they all want you to thrive. They all need you. They're not there going, you know, so when you greet your team, remember there's a team out there and they love you because of how comfortable you are when you recognize them. We always make it about ourselves and about our voice and never about like, hey guys, when we slate. We're always like, Ellie Ray, ETM, you know, that kind of cold remove. It's like, no guys, remember through that conduit microphone, you are reaching a world of people that goes on forever and ever. And if you remember your audience and your team, like your audience is a part of the team. Like it's just so many millions of people are involved in what we do. And you are a part of this team. And when you really get that on a certain level, you get really comfortable. You get really joyful about opportunities. Just the opportunity to stand at the mic and go, hey, hi. Hi, everybody. It's an incredible thing. Like, and then you, of course, hear yourself on shows and you go, rawr, or whatever, you know, but you know, they're forever. They're forever.
Do you watch your own shows?
Yeah, very, very rarely. Like, okay. I will be in the bar and I'll see myself on TV and everybody's like, there's Ellie on the thing. Or you might hear yourself on the radio in the car and you're like, oh, whatever, you know, and you just go, I don't tend to search out my shows.
Yeah.
I'm working now on compiling a lifetime achievement demo. So I do have to, I'm like finding stuff and listening to, and it's hilarious. Like, it's actually, you don't think about it 40 years later, but holy crap, there's thousands upon thousands of characters. So I'm like, it's fascinating to me. And I go, I totally forgot about that show. Oh my goodness. Like, I can't even remember like shows that I've done, you know, when you're right. Doing, oh my gosh. Oh yeah. Because I've got fans who send me, oh, you know, here's Mrs. Moose from Arthur or whatever. Like, and I'm like, oh, that wasn't even my main character, so I forgot about the character. Like, I don't think about those characters.
Yeah.
But you'll find them, and it kind of makes you go, I've got a huge canon of characters. And I think, you know, I always say, well, I sit in a certain pocket. I have a certain kind of character. And then I realize, no, I don't. You made that up. Like, I'm listening to you. That's insane. I just go, wow, where did that character come from? I find it fascinating. And I actually think, like, I jury the Emmys every year for Best Voice and for Best on Camera, daytime soaps, if you can believe it. So I listen to millions of demos a year, but I also listen to thousands of really good actors. And what I find really useful is to recognize that 98% of all of it is good. And then there's a 2%, it's actually under 2% that are spectacular. And what I try to do is figure out why is that so spectacular? And it's because they are liberated from the formulaic way of doing things. So I think, getting back to your question, I think remember your team, but also listening to your team. Listen to your, surround yourself. If you want to be in animation, have a screen on 24/7 cartoons. Be in the world. Make yourself a part of the world you want to be in. Have a vision board and have Cartoon Network and Pixar and Disney and logos all over it, and have microphones and have dollar signs of what you want to be, and have awards and have like whatever. Put yourself in the world you want to be in. Surround yourself with it, because we tend to go away from it and only come to it when we have an audition. But if you have a 24 hours of cartoons on a screen in your house, even if it's in the other room, you don't have to be watching it. Your brain is picking it up. We're very, very powerful. And then you become really a big part of that world, right?
Yeah. I think it's really true that the people that you surround yourself with are really important to what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, we're changing the vibration of the planet, Valerie.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, you think, oh, you know, I get nervous because of course you get nervous. You think it's because you think you're not good enough. You are igniting humanity. Right? You are saving the lethargy of spirit that has come into play because of the digital devices. We don't talk to one another anymore. We don't communicate. So our stories are the last thing that we sit and watch, or we listen to on the radio, or we, you know, where we hear a little voice for 30 seconds selling Viagra. And it makes me laugh because I go, oh, I like that person. I don't know why. You know, because, but you still can change. Like, we have this opportunity. So we all get kind of acclimated about how we're performing. Are you kidding me? You guys are magical. You guys are phenomenal. You're brilliant. Never forget that. You're awesome. You're frontline workers, man. You're saving spirit right, left, and center. So that team spirit, when you work on great shows, it just reminds you of all the people standing in line wanting to play the game, that are playing the game. And if I got cast in that, I'm like, I am on bended knees with so much gratitude, because I know there's millions just like me that are just as deserving, just as talented. They tend to not believe it. But yeah. I say, please believe it. Please know you are me. My success is yours. There's one energy in the world, and it's us. And we are changing the vibration of the planet. So you're not singular. You're not alone. Just remember the team. Remember, draw on that energy.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Live with Squacky. Don't forget to tune in next week for part two of this great interview with Ellie Rae Hennessy. Live with Squacky is mixed and mastered by everybody's favorite voiceover tech, Uncle Roy Yokelson of Antland Productions. Live with Squacky was recorded from the back seat of my limo.